This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
The New York Times is dropping its 3-year experiment with hyper-local news coverage. And Lisa, perhaps do you want to explain what we mean by hyper-local before we really get into this?
Hyper-local is when you're really focusing on local news in your community. And the New York Times did an experiment where they had a blog devoted to covering
Brooklyn and New Jersey, I think.
That's right. And it was an experiment. They had New York Times reporters covering these neighborhoods, and they were just trying to attract an audience in those neighborhoods. But they have now decided to call it quits, and the blog will continue, but NYU is going to take it over.
We've seen something similar in the past with, for example, in this state, the Arlington Heights Daily Herald would have different editions that came out focused on particular parts of the Chicago suburban region. And I think the Tribune, perhaps the Sun-Times, had some editions that focused on particular, you know, the northwest suburbs or the west suburbs, south suburbs, whatever. Hyper-local got down to even, I think, a smaller level, like you said, getting down to the neighborhood level. Mm-hmm. So we've sort of seen this sort of thing. And I don't know, Mike, do you think perhaps this is going to be how maybe newspapers can survive, is by being hyper-local? Is there enough, I guess, advertising, enough support to do it?
That's the question, of course, as it always boils down to, is there any money to support that? And I guess my answer would be, I have no idea. I kind of think, you know, it reminds me of back when I was a little fella. I come from a newspaper background. My father was editor of a small town weekly newspaper, and even in that paper, we'd have like a little bitty column from Chadwick, Illinois, you know, which is just about as small a town as you can get. And there was news from Argo Fay and all kinds of, you know, arcane little places out there in the sticks that we would run in what was already a small town newspaper, Fulton, Illinois, about 5,000 people. So you want to talk about hyper-local, I mean, we were doing it 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. And so I think it's an important thing. And, of course, you know, in the case of, you know, my dad's newspaper, I don't think it was a question of money. It was just kind of like a thing we did because we felt the need to do it. It was sort of like a social responsibility type of thing, as opposed to something we did for extra advertising revenue. There's no money in it because it's such a small a part of the audience. So,
would you have a would he have a reporter based in each of those towns?
I think he would. I as I recall, what we used to have is what I guess we would call today a stringer, somebody who just wrote up this stuff and sent it in, and then we would print it. More or less every week. It wasn't absolutely every week. I mean, because Chadwick, Illinois, is the kind of place where sometimes there just isn't much news, you know, as you can imagine. But I think it was an important part of the paper because that made, you know, folks in that area of the newspaper coverage
circulation area.
You know, circulation area. It made them. It kind of gave them a sense of belonging, to the sort of, you know, small regional area there that our paper covered. So.
Which is what I think the Tribune was doing, but I don't think they had reporters based in each town.
Right.
Whereas the Herald, the Arlington Heights Herald, might not have reporters based in each town, but they have several in certain areas to cover schools and city councils and things like that. So. Not purely hyper-local, but along those lines.
I think Mike's story kind of illustrates the answer to your question because it's papers like this, your family-run paper.
Those
are the newspapers now that are doing the best. I mean, it's been a terrible few years for newspapers and the newspaper industry, but it's the community weeklies and dailies, the small-town dailies, that are really weathering the economy the best. And with their focus on local news, they have this niche that really no other publication can replicate. So I think what the New York Times found was they're just too big to do that mm-hmm. level of journalism. Mm-hmm. Their niche is global and national news, and that's mm-hmm. what the bigger papers are finding.
Sure.
That's right. That's a national and international newspaper, and for them to be covering neighborhoods would be a real challenge, and I don't know if it would appeal to the type of person who subscribes to the New York Times, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a sort of a broadcasting equivalent to this thing, and that would be what, if it's illegal, is known as a micro radio station, somebody who's sort of a, you know, clandestine broadcaster, you know, doing it without a license out of the back of a truck or something, or the legal expression of that, which is the low-power FM station, which we've talked about mm-hmm. also. So in those phenomena, if you will, are alive and well. And, of course, I think as we discussed in a shop talk not too long ago, the low-power FM thing is liable to be, you know, become – they're having another wave of license applications coming open. So it could be pretty exciting.
And that may be an example of hyper-local on the broadcast level.
Yep.
We feel like at Tri-States Public Radio, we're trying to cover more communities because our signal, I always say our signal does not end at the city limits of Macomb. It spreads out across this region. But a low-power FM, that signal does it pretty much end yep. at the city limits. So they can afford to be hyper-local. And it is a challenge when you're trying to cover a broader area. And I'll just take the example of Tri-States Public Radio. Mm. It sure would be wonderful to have someone, a reporter, a full-time reporter stationed, you know, in Carthage and Monmouth and Galesburg and Rushville and Mount Sterling and Quincy and so on and so forth. But is that does that make sense economically? And I'm sure station managers and the university would tell you, no, you have to try and find other ways to cover these outside areas.
That's right. It's you have to balance the cost of gathering that news and also with the, you know, the belief. I always believe that if you write it, the readers will come. If you have the more you cover your community, the more the bigger your audience will be.
But again, to be hyper local, or as you even say, just some of the Lisa, some of these smaller weekly or daily newspapers that are just focused on that one town or that one county truly have that advantage because they're there every day. They know what's going on. They know the people. And they're reporting on things that are of interest to that community that you're not going to find someplace else. I mean, I think these days, even the PJ Star, which really mm-hmm. used to spread out into this area, does not really cover, you know, for example, Hancock County or McDonough County anymore.
That's right. They were once a more of a regional Central Illinois mm-hmm. newspaper. They used to cover Macomb, but now they really have taken their focus local. And I don't know if that's by design, if they're just trying to be hyper-local in their news focus, or if it's as a result of shrinking newsroom if they just don't have the staff now to cover all those counties.
And, well, it's partly a result of them all being gatehouse newspapers now, and if mm-hmm. they want a story from Macomb, they can take it from the McDonough County Voice. Yep. They want a story out of Monmouth or Galesburg, you know, they have these papers all over the place. The PJ Star can just take the story out of there and put it in the PJ Star.
That's true.
So they don't need the reporter in those different towns. Hey, we've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.